The LARPbox Crusade presents Transformers Chronicles.
Hello and welcome back to Transformers Chronicles. I'm Delvin, aka The Dark Web, and in case you're new to the show, welcome. And let me tell you what this thing is all about. We are going for a wild, crazy ride, chronicling awesome, wacky, this episode's more wacky and sometimes corny world of Marvel Comics, the Transformers, but I am never going out alone. That's why I said we are going. I didn't say I am going. It's careful script writing. Let's meet my chronicling companions. First up is the founder of the LARPbox Crusade, the somewhat novice and becoming less and less novice by the episode to the Transformers world. His name is Pat Sampson, the seeker of the Matrix knowledge, DJ Christatos. Pat, what's going on?
Well, hello, Delvin. Hello, John and Maggie. It's great to be back here. I was away the last episode, but I am now back. While I was away, I was out kind of scouting around for more talent for the LARPbox Crusade, and I found some people that may have wanted to join me and start the LBC Carnival. Okay. I want it to be really kind of cool and have some fun, and I want to wear a big hat so I can be in the center of the big top. People can call. Maybe you can just call me Mr. Big Top.
Okay. Would you happen to gain, about 2,800 pounds in grow tentacles?
Eventually, yeah, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, with all the monies I would make from the carnival and all that carnival food. How much deep fried stuff can you eat? And that's really what I'm looking for, is just all the carnival food.
You better be careful. Some of that stuff will rot your teeth.
Yeah, that's okay. I can get some different ones.
Okay. Yeah, you got all the money now, Pat. Be careful for those cages. We're going to move on to the Transformers librarian, the lesser half of married with content. It is changed now because off script, off of panel, I was told that, Alexa is not cooperating, and we're not happy with Alexa now. So, I'm frowning at Alexa. Y'all can't see it. I'm frowning at Alexa. Anyway, lesser half, married with content, Jonathan Schaefer Kane. What's going on, John?
Hello, Delvin. I was just looking in horror at both of my contract with Amazon to allow it to be on Audible and my contract to be in the LARPbox Crusade, which I'm now looking under this carnival clause and endless supply of cheese curd section that I, of course, ignored because it was ludicrous when I signed it. But now the ramifications are a bit scary. So welcome back.
Understand. You got to read the contract.
No, I read it. It's just there's a lot of things in here that don't make any sense. They're seemingly now. Now I'm really, really worried about some of these other ones that I thought were nonsensical about, bananas and Care Bears.
Yeah. I love me some Care Bears. So we'll get to those movies as well and those comics.
All right. Once we're done with this, we'll move right on to Care Bears. And so we could get through our entire all toys that have ever been put into a comic book.
I mean, we do continue on a crusade to ... read them all. So, I mean, we're eventually going to have to get to that. But for now, I have to get to the greater half of Married with Content. Her name is Maggie Schaefer Haynes. Hello, Maggie. How are you doing this fine evening?
Doing all right. Thanks, Delvin.
Is there anything that you'd like to regale us with?
No.
Maggie says, no, I have something that I'd like to regale you with. Not just Maggie, but everyone. I sent a message already to John about it. I've not talked to Pat about it, but I read the first two issues of the new Image comic book, The Transformers, with what's the guy's name? Is it Daniel Warren Johnson? Did I get that right?
I believe you are right. I had the issues out to have them handy if in case someone asked about it, because I think someone brings it up in the transmission segment later. But of course, I forgot about it and put them away. So,
well, it's okay. I actually have them not even about 20, 30 feet away from me. I could go get them, but I just want to rave about it real quick. It was pretty cool. John asked me to read it. I said I would. I read it, and man, they're good. They're starting retelling the origin again, and it was Starscream's all badass.
Yes, he is. I think I said it to you that it was the best introductory comic that Transformers have had since Dreamwave 1. I mean, and I'm including all the IDW, which I love, but this one, if you're going to reboot stuff, this is the way you want to do it. It changes things in a way that you know that anything could happen, that they're not beholden to anything that happened before, but yep. They're keeping the core of the characters. And the way they show that, especially with Optimus Prime, is just beautiful. They sum him up in one panel.
Yeah. Like,
and it's a twist on the traditional status quo. First, it brings humans back into the mode. It's Spike Witwicky, and there's Sparkplug.
Buster. Again. Or excuse me, Spike and Sparkplug. Excuse me, not Buster. I'm so Marvel Universe trained, John.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I am a real fan, and it's continuing along. A little grosser than I'm used to, but hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we learned, I don't know if you've read it, Maggie. I know you haven't read it, Pat, that humans are squishy in the hands of robots. Mm. Just put it that way. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to. If anyone of, like, the people out in the Transformers Chronicles universe is listening to it, I recommend you go pick it up. Matter of fact, I love to see, I mean, Daniel is such a fan of Transformers, he's had to read the Marvel Comics version of it. So if by any chance he's listening to this or we find him, maybe we can get him to come on the show one time. That would be awesome.
It is pretty clear that there's a lot of direct nods to the Marvel run in these first two. In terms of, like, the gravel pit they go to is right out of where the Decepticons were.
Good point.
Oh, that's great. Plus, I don't want to digress too much, but it is pretty cool. They're setting up a new internal universe that is going to include G.I. Joe and some other things. I'm really excited to see how they reboot G.I. Joe in this sort of universe.
Yep, they did. And that's something that Pat might care about. And, you know, other Joe listeners, too, that, like, it's not giving away too much to say that the United States military got into a fight with the Decepticons, including Starscream, and they were obviously going to lose that fight. And one of the people who bailed out but got to escape from Starscream's onslaught was Duke. So, yeah, look, they're going to have a comic book that fuses the Transformers and the Marvel Universe together. And it's like, that is intriguing. They have some cool stuff going on. I'm glad I'm on the ground floor of it. So
did they bring O back? It's not the same if O's not there, you know, shortchanging people who have just gotten out of the hospital.
Well, I mean, you know how it is. Mathematically speaking, Maggie, like, if you just subtract O, it's really not much of a difference.
It's that magical. Pretty good. I like
that. Thank you. Thank you. Just came up with that. And I'm going to stop while I'm ahead. The purpose of this podcast will be tackling all of Marvel's Transformers comics in order, starting with issue 1 and working our way to the series end at issue 80. We will answer any questions that are brought up to the best of our ability and see how these books we loved then as a kid hold up to our eyes as an adult now. This podcast is guaranteed to be, you guessed it, more than meets the eye. So Pat, John, Maggie, let's see what happens with Optimus Prime and Goldbug. Find out what happens to Skylynx and the kiddos right after the promo break.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Xenozoic Xenophiles,
a fan podcast devoted to the comic series Xenozoic Tales.
It's a post-apocalyptic adventure series filled with Cadillacs and dinosaurs.
I'm Ruth.
And I'm Darren.
Please join us as we discuss the stories, characters, and art in this excellent comic series from writer and artist Mark Schultz.
Special episodes feature interviews with Mark Schultz himself discussing Xenozoic Tales and his other comics.
Listen at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit XenozoicXenophiles.com.
Xenozoic Xenophiles is part of the Rad Adventures Network at radadventuresnetwork.com.
We now return to the Transformers.
Welcome back. The issue we will be covering today is Transformers issue 44. And here is Maggie with the cover description.
All right. Thank you, Delvin. So in this one, Fort Max is still in the cover box doing the head tearing off thing with a sharp yellowish orange background matching the color used on the Transformers logo, lined in red with more than meets the eye in white running along the top of the cover. Front and center, we have Optimus in semi-cab mode driving in what appears to be a football stadium with Skylynx perched on top of him while engaged in hand-to-hand or perhaps claw-to-claw struggle with a green dinosaur-like creature. From the lower right of the cover, heading on a collision course with Optimus, Skylynx, and the Dino, is who we will soon learn to be none other than Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3. Behind all of this is a figure swinging from a trapeze attached to what I do not know while holding a flaming torch. And that is the cover description.
Woohoo!
How'd I do? It was my first time.
You did fantastic, Maggie. And
you can have it from now on.
Right.
We will pass the ball around now and talk about what we thought about the cover. Let's start with Pat.
I think it's a very striking cover with all the action going on with the centerpiece, as Maggie had mentioned, is, you know, Optimus in his cab form. You can definitely tell what that is. And then Skylynx. It took me a little bit to go who that was until I actually read it, because I guess I'm not sure if I've seen him in this form before. If we did, it was very short. You know, I'm more used to him in the shuttle mode with the beak and all that that's going on. And and I didn't know, you know, the other, you know, what's going on in the background with the guy in the trapeze, and then this motorcycle kind of headed straight on towards Optimus. And either way, that's not a good way to be going. If you're, he's obviously, Optimus is heading straight forward, and this little guy is going to get squished, or at least, you know, hit really hard. And
no, he doesn't. He didn't think so. But we're not to the art of comic book. But he didn't think so. He had all the static in the world for Optimus Prime. So yeah.
But the other thing that's interesting is the little cover blurb that says Cosmic Carnival, and it makes you interested to see what kind of things happen in a cosmic carnival. And we do get to see that inside.
We do. And to me, Cosmic Carnival sounds 70s, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, something that's just a little wacky and crazy, sometimes corny. Yeah. So, I did like that, too. And so I'll take over from here. I usually go last, but I'm switching it up. And I like the cover. It's fun. I think that for Frank Springer, we haven't done cover credits yet, but you're not giving it away too soon to say that Frank Springer drew it. And Dave Hunt did the inks. It's a good cover. Like, Optimus Prime is on it, so how could it be bad, right? And like, instead of being in, you know, his robot mode, he's in his truck mode, and you got a lot of action going on with Skylynx in his Puma mode instead of like the normal pterodactyl mode that we see him in, or the shuttle mode. This is his Puma mode, and then all the cool stuff going on around it. It's just a lot of fun to me. And it's cool because you can definitely tell that the cover wasn't rushed, that this was something that was planned. And so it gets big thumbs up for me. Pat, did you want to add something real quick?
I just wanted to add, too, I think it's the colors. You know, this makes the colors pop, and it's not really done in a bad way. I think it's really done in a nice way.
Well, I mean, because if you go to a carnival, you wouldn't expect a carnival to be just blacks and grays and whites. It'd be colorful and fun. And so, yeah, very good point. Pat, we can pass it to who wants it, John or Maggie? John's raising his hand. John, go for it.
There's the mute. And I was, I had learned a psychological principle on the off weeks. And that was your opinion of something. If you're like shown a series of things in a row, your opinion on a particular picture has a lot to do, or at least there is some influence on the what you had just seen previous and what you're expecting to see next can have a strong opinion on whether and how you rate it higher or lower. That, with that in mind, and the fact that the last cover I had a number of issues with loudly, and the next one I don't remember exactly, but it's it's at least just okay. I really, really like this cover for all of the reasons you folks said. I mean, this is a fun one to just look at for a while and go, what is happening here? And this is a thing I certainly rip on. I'm going to just assume this was Nelly Amtov because, and I'll give credit where credit is due on this one. The color use of colors on this are really great and a great part of what makes this cover work. So, yeah, this is a really good one.
Maggie, you got the mic. What do you think?
I like the cover. It does pop. I think that's a really good word to use. They also make good use of the space without it being super crowded. Although I feel like at the bottom with the Cosmic Carnival and Roars, the motorcycle maniac, down in the bottom, it's a little bit busy. Also, I'm really not sure who the guy in the trapeze is supposed to be. He's got like dynamite and he's throwing sticks of dynamite at Optimus Prime. I don't know who that's supposed to be. Maybe Burko, the guy that they kind of helped. I don't know. But It's still a pretty cool cover. I'm with Pat. It took me a minute to realize that was Skylynx on Optimus Prime because he kind of looks like a Garanimals. No, what are they called? Maximals? Like Primus?
Oh, it looks like a Predacon a little bit.
Yeah, something like that. Some kind of yogurt product. But I liked it.
They're kind of goofy with Skylynx art-wise, this whole thing. And I'll talk about it later once we're in the thing. But it's confusing. He's a confusing Transformer. And he isn't like drawn kind of the way he is. But talk about that.
Yeah, he's all one robot, but he can split into two robots.
Right. He's a space shuttle that transforms into the sky part, which is, you know, the dinosaur looking guy who will insist he's not a Dinobot, you know, constantly. And then the bottom part unfolds into the Lynx part. And these are two separate robots that share a brain. And so they
I believe in the natural world, that's called budding.
Okay, yes. But so they're supposed to be in this one throughout it. They show it looks like it's just they kind of do him like a triple changer as if he transforms from one to the next. So I don't think it's as clear that it's three separate robot things that it changes or two separate things that can combine into one thing.
Yeah, Skylynx was definitely a unique toy. I think I had the pleasure of playing with him because my uncle had the toy like back in the day. So I think I got to play with Skylynx, but I can't remember.
Really cool.
Memory's a little fuzzy. Well, one thing I'm not going to be fuzzy about is how we're going to rate this book. Hey-o! We are going to rate things here on Transformers Chronicles on a scale of 1 to 10, like the tech specs of old, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. Everyone's thinking about what's going on. Pat's doing the thoughtful eye to the corner thing. I'm going to give him a little bit of time to think about it. I'll go with John first. I bet John has a strong opinion on what he's going to rate the cover of Transformers 44.
You think I... you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and give this a 9. It's slightly too busy on it for me to give it. I mean, it's not going to be a classic all time. You remember this, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with it except for the mild busyness, and I really like it. And I'm feeling good about myself after that last one where I gave some pretty bad ratings there. Nice to dust myself off, a positive outlook. So a 9 this is.
It's never wrong to have a positive outlook. I'm at an 8 myself. I think it's very, very good. I liked looking at it. It's a fun cover. I can't say that I remembered it immediately, like, ooh, Transformers 44 is coming up and it's got that cover. But when I looked at it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is fun. I remember this. So I like it a lot. Let's give it to Pat. Pat's done thinking. What are you rating?
I give this a very high 8. I just can't go above to a 9, but I can definitely see myself at an 8 on this one. It is fun and I like the colors.
That leaves Maggie.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow the leader. I'm gonna go with an 8 as well. It's definitely above average, but again, it's also not like an classic, but it's a very good cover, and I also like the colors.
A very high 8.
is your vote not an 8? That'll cause a bit of confusion.
Yes, you might as well call you Bruce just to keep it clear.
I like that you were at a 9. It showed overwhelming positivity.
I think a high 8 can still show that. Or however, though, man, I'm going to bump it back up to a 9 just with the assumption that this is Nelly Amtov. This is what I consider Nelly Amtov's greatest work. So a 9.
There you go. We got Nelson Yamtov's magnum opus. And now we have Pat with the credits for this issue.
All right. Well, this issue we are covering, again, is Transformers number 44. Its on-sale date was March 24th, 1988. Cover dated, though, was September 1988. Cover price was $1. Story goes to Bob Budiansky. Pencils go to Frank Springer. And the inks go to Danny Bulinati. Colors go to John's favorite colorist, Neil Yamtoff. Letters are Bill Oakley. And the editor is Don Daly. Cover credits, as we talked about before, go to Frank Springer and Dave Hunt. This is all thanks to Mike's Amazing World and tfwiki.net.
We should probably jump in to mention that the Mike of Mike's Amazing World passed away a couple of days ago.
It was sad news.
Yeah, he had stopped updating a number of years ago, but we just found out he died just a couple of days ago.
No, well, rest in peace, Mike. You leave behind an obvious legacy that we all can appreciate and will still continue to give you credit for long after you're gone. Rest in peace.
Comic-based podcasters would have a much more annoying time than this guy.
Oh, yeah. It helps so much to have that. Like, I mean, if you have the book in hand, that's one thing, but to be able to access it, you know, like via internet makes it a ton easier. So he did God's work on that.
Yeah. Plus in a couple of places where there were misprints in the book, he would pretty much be regarded as a definitive on things like that. He sure did a great service.
Fantastic. Once again, rest in peace, Mike. And with that, let's get to the synopsis.
It is a world transformed, where things are not what they seem. It is the world of the Transformers.
Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. Transformers,
robots in disguise. The Transformers from Marvel Comics.
The title of this issue was The Cosmic Carnival. In the summary of Transformers Chronicles 42, I asked, where would they all end up? And if you didn't listen to Transformers Chronicles 42, the they I was referring to are Power Master Optimus Prime and the Fort Max contingency that traveled to Nebulos to revive him. So yeah, where did they end up? You think Earth, right? At least to the moon of Earth, because that's where basically all the Earthbound Autobots definitely are. Well, they were headed there, but they got a space ad about a cosmic carnival, which clearly they aren't going to watch a damn circus because of the Autobots on the moon of Earth. But when they see that the attraction of the carnival is Skylynx, well, that's something Optimus Prime couldn't pass up. Optimus and Goldbug board the carnival ship, and while looking around, stumble across one of the attractions in a cage, the four human children who were with Skylynx and Daisy from issue 36, being held captive by another human, Burko. So now Optimus Prime has to do something to free them and take them back to Earth. Freedom is the right of all sentient beings, yeah? Optimus and Goldbug entreat upon the owner of the carnival, an enormous tentacled creature called Big Top. Big Top refuses, citing a contract signed by Skylynx and the kiddos. Big Top invites Optimus and Goldbug to stay and enjoy the show, but asks Burko to keep an eye on them because Optimus and Goldbug seem like trouble. Optimus and Goldbug, I'm gonna fast forward a little bit, do all of the following things in chronological order. Find Skylynx, here's dramatic story, convince Burko to side with them and free the kids, and devise a plan to free Skylynx with the second order effect of Big Top ending up as a prisoner of his own carnival. What's next for our crew of Autobots? And let's talk about the book. We do things here on Transformers Chronicles where we talk about highs and lows and everything in between, and somehow a credible discussion forms from it. We will start with Maggie. Maggie's gone last few rounds, she goes first this one. Maggie, what do you have about Transformers 44?
Well, it made more sense than the last one. But the thing that kind of really got me was at the very beginning when they're pining after Cybertron. And one of them even says, like, wow, all this talk of Cybertron is making me homesick. And then a commercial comes on And Skylinks is in the commercial and they're all like, well, better go follow up on that. Even though Cybertron was like right there, like they were looking at it, they could have touched it. And I just thought that was hilarious. Like this commercial comes on, like, wait a second. We have to go find out what's up with Skylinks. Is it
big? Weird?
Or is he beeping an image of it? Image of looking at a postcard of Cybertron.
That's one of his new Power Master abilities. You can
do. Yes. You heard that an image, there was an image of Optimus Prime that was just kind of, he was beaming it from his eyes. And that's what everyone was viewing, Maggie.
Okie dokie. Oh, yeah, I see that now. Okay, well, still, they were all talking about how excited they were to finally go back to Cybertron. And a commercial comes on, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this now.
Well, in fairness, they at least were like, well, some of them were like, yeah, circus. And then, like, they're like, the calmer hands were like, no, we ain't got time for no circus. So, you know, all I would say is after millions of years of war, even if I were homesick for my home, I'd probably want to go see a circus too.
Well, I'd be both amazed that we had managed to the improbable event of actually being hit by their marketing strategy. I mean, I shouldn't say anything. It seems to be working well. The place is packed, but I don't know if just beaming things up in space and hoping that it crashes, you know, just happens to hit a passing spacecraft, even though it's worked twice apparently in this issue. So I shouldn't say anything. There seems to be there's a better way that you could, you know, radio has got to be cheaper.
One would think, but I haven't been out to the darkest recesses of space yet, John.
That is true.
When I do, though, I promise I will let you know. John, do you want to add something about Transformers 44?
Well, I have several questions about it, and they all fall under the what the category. I think we could all agree, you said so at the beginning, this is definitely wacky. I think we all love it. But so we're supposed to, so after the, because the last time we saw these kids was after the Dinobots had captured Blaster. You know, the Dinobots were surrounding them on asteroids while Blaster and the kids, and so Blaster surrenders.
Correct.
And then here. So things happened in the middle. Somebody needs to write that miniseries about how they got here and the adventures they had on their way. But so apparently it was like Skylinks was all, so
do you guys mind if I just run these kids home? And they're like, sounds good to me, Snarl. Go ahead.
You said, you know, they are pretty stupid. They said,
I tell you what, I was surprised that when they explained, you know, from the issues, from the events that happened in Transformers 36, like, yeah, I remember that because it ended with the Dinobots surrounding Skylinks and the kids. And Blaster came out and said, you know what? No, okay, I surrender. I would have thought
they apparently just forgot. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I guess that's all they wanted. But I would have thought that they would have captured Skylinks and the kids, but they didn't. Like, Grimlock was like, nah.
He was pretty single, you know, very, very focused.
That's true. He was pretty single-minded. Pat, you've been waiting patiently. What do you got?
I was kind of like John, too. I was trying to wonder how these kids got out there in more deeper of a space, right? Did he go the wrong direction instead of taking him back home? He makes it sound like, oh, you know, we're just trying to traveling around. And, you know, next thing you know, we get this ad and the kids want to go see it. And I want to go see it, too. So, you know, then we get sucked in. Okay, I guess we'll work for you. It's like, really?
I was saying that, too. You know, even though this isn't technically the Marvel Universe anymore, it is obviously Marvel space, which is about, you know, 100 miles on a side. I mean, there's Kree have taken over an entire galaxy as of the Shi'ar. That's a monumentally impossible prospect, but all right. But yes, apparently on their way back from the asteroid belt in the solar system to Earth, they got sidetracked to another circus of the stars. Why not?
Yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Pat?
I was just surprised to see that, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, the kids. I totally forgot about them, even though I was like, what's going to happen? It was kind of good to see them and their antics that they've been up to, but aren't their parents missing them?
Man, that's the story I want to see. Like, at this point, and it was late 80s, like, they had to be on Unsolved Mysteries, right?
Yeah, they had to be on a curtain or something.
Well, I have a feeling
you have to stay tuned about one more issue. Have that question actually answered.
Okay.
Cryptic. Now I got my previous.
Yeah, you do. Wait. Which question's answered? The question about the kiddos?
No, about the parents, about what their parents have been wondering this whole time.
I tell you what, man. Like, I forgot that the kids even came back. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, the kids. Because I even put in a summary. I'm like, I really don't care what happened to the kids. Optimus Prime came back. Beep them kids. I'm ashamed. What's up, Maggie?
You know, I'll be honest, I don't have a whole heck of a lot to say about this one, although I'm still, mostly what it did for me was it did make more sense than the last one we read. I think it's kind of sweet that Skylanks wanted to take the kids to the carnival that they wanted to go see. I mean, he was going to take them home, but then the commercial came on. The kids were like, we want to go see the space carnival. And Skylanks, being a very good boy, was like, yeah, all right. And he took them. He didn't know that it was evil before they got there. And it's kind of a fun way for them to get Skylanks back, I guess. It's bizarre. I don't know. I thought the circus was kind of cool. I thought most of the art was pretty cool.
Man, I mean, you know good old Bob. The thing that I really appreciate about Bob is you got to, like, we've already talked about how in Transformers, like, they were like, okay, shill this toy, shill that toy. And he kept a pretty credible storyboard throughout. Like, he remembered that 8 issues ago that he had some kids that were out in space. Right. It still did a sort of like, I'm so used to at this point, Pat mentioning, he's like, yeah, you know, I kind of like this humor. Will we see him again? And me and John are like, nope. Yeah. But this time it's like, yeah. we are going to see him again. We've seen these kids across like at least 4 or 5 different issues of Transformers. Like, they're practically celebrities. They may have been in more issues than O.
And that Daisy is a very well-traveled bear at this
point. And Daisy. How can we possibly forget Daisy?
I know.
She's got her own experiences. John, I forgot about you. Did you have more that you wanted to add to this tale?
No, you can forget about me all you want, but who we cannot forget about, because only a fool forgets or ignores, Rorza, the Rocket Cycle Racer from Rigel 3. Man, this guy is like, they are putting so much of a push out of this new racer or this new wrestler. It reminds, I can't tell if he's a Chris Jericho or, you know, and it just somehow works, or if it's a Chris Benoit and it's going to take him years before it ends horribly. Ooh. See, I didn't know where I was going with that, you know, when I started talking. All right. Anyway, that and the entirety of it, what I like about this, to kind of tag on what you were saying, is this one was, I mean, I don't think that they intended, like, Bob was like, and then I'm going to take a break, and then we'll do a Cybertron story, which will just, this one was meant to follow the previous one, and this one following the previous one is great. This is a nice little palate cleanser, just a great little silly story. It reminds me of it could have been an issue or an episode of the cartoon, even though it almost though feels like a different, it feels like a Doctor Who story to me. This would have worked really well as a Doctor Who story.
I can kind of see that.
Kind of wacky. So I'll chime in. I have literally never seen an episode of Doctor Who.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So explain to me why this would be a Doctor Who episode.
Well, the Doctor...
It's a sinister carnival in space. That's pretty Doctor
that's
Who.
That's a pretty Doctor Who trope. But what the Doctor generally will do is he'll wander into a place where there's some scumbag doing something bad, exploiting people. And the Doctor, through wacky, you know, will wind up just righting wrongs, doing things through generally promoting kindness and nonviolent means. Okay. But this is right up the Doctor's alley, going to a place and find out that there's this crooked carnival person that's tricking people in indentured servitude. This would be exactly up the Doctor's alley, and then finding a way to perform in the circus itself, you know, get everybody on in order to trick the guy in. That's a plot that I could see the fourth Doctor doing, or David Tennant's Doctor. He's
okay. Cool. Thanks for that, John. Yeah. What do you have?
Let's talk about Optimus Prime. I don't think he's really in his prime anymore. at this point. You know, he seems a little off to me.
Is he
compared to compared to how he was, you know, before and where we left him off in the issue? You know, he's still, you know, does he know everything yet? Did he kind of seems like he does, but he just doesn't come off as optimist to me right now. I'm looking for him to be a little more stronger. This one seemed like he was a little, okay, let's go do this. And, you know, I don't know. I didn't see him too aggressive.
He had kind of a tough time in that fight too.
Yeah. It's just not him.
So well. I agree. I have a weird no prize hand wave you could do. Like, he's both been mostly dead all morning.
Ooh, right,
you know, yeah. But also he left his Power Master plug-in and trailer in back. So he, you know, could be low on gas. Or the way I was thinking about it, maybe he got like way too much of a supercharge out of it before, and that's something he's still, you know, dealing, his circuits are still dealing with, and he might just be kind of hangover overload.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. He just kind of wandering through the thing, and it's like, oh, now what? Well, we can't get the kids out of here. Oh, well. Okay. Bye, kids.
He had a plan, though. All right. Enough of this optimist slander. You know, I'm about to roll up my sleeves. I have on short sleeves. Roll up my sleeves, you know, and cause some violence. Okay, I'm not. But but you mentioned, first of all, I like that no prize, John. And one of the things that was mentioned in the book, because, again, Bob seems to, you know, when he's writing this stuff, he's like, you know what? Somebody's going to podcast about this about, you know, 35 years later or so. And I need to have an explanation put in there. And sure enough, what they mentioned was, instead of bringing the entire contingency of Autobots to the carnival, which would have made this a much, much easier fight, they only had the Energon cubes to spare Optimus Prime and Goldbug, and not even Power Master Optimus Prime, just regular old Optimus Prime. So that might lend a little bit of credence to what John was just saying, as maybe he wasn't up to, you know, completely up to full strength. And also, I mean, Bumblebee kind of got knocked around, even though, you know, Big Top was presented as a big, menacing type character. He just freaking swatted Bumblebee away and just like, I mean, and he got knocked over about three or four times, and he was kind of knocked for a loop. So I like John's no prize on that.
I think in the Doctor Who allegory, it would be the equivalent of him having somehow would have had to leave the TARDIS somewhere and wouldn't have access to it. And because if he had it, then he would just win in a minute. If all the other people were here, it would be a very short situation. It's like, well, we can't get this open. Oh, can't we? Well, there's nine of us.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Let's see. Is there anything else from around the horn to talk about? We went in order a couple of times, but does anyone have anything pressing in their notes that they wanted to mention about?
Oh, man, Maggie mentioned the artwork in her. I do agree with her that it was very well done art-wise. So you can tell that they actually took some time on the panels, especially, you know, in the circus or in the arena and everywhere, there was really some detail done.
Delvo,
hey, go ahead, John.
Sorry to interrupt you, but he's great and only gets better. And he throws just an incredible amount of background detail in every issue he does now, which is such a breath of fresh air, especially with, if we think back to some of the earlier ones, you know, where there were a lot of with the rushed feeling and a lot of, you know, people leaving that out. But he really feels like he cares. You can spend a lot of time on this issue if you want to, just seeing all of the stuff in the background.
This was Frank Springer, right?
Oh, Springer did this one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was nice to see Frank Springer again. He, back in the day, was great, who did one of my favorite ones, 17 and 18, which this one reminds me of. So that explains. But nothing against Delbo. He's great, too, when he comes on back.
Yeah, well, they went out of their way to mention at the start of the book that Frank Springer was guest penciler and that Danny Bulinotti was guest inker.
All right, you are correct. I got too distracted because there's an ad in the comic right before which reminded me of the brief period of time that William the Refrigerator Perry of Chicago Bears fame apparently joined the G.I. Joe team, and you could get his figure if you sent away.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. He had a gigantic mace.
He did. That's crazy. They should have let him play in one football game a year with that.
he was already carrying enough weight. He didn't need a mace on top of it either. Does anyone else have anything? I agree, by the way. I'll comment on the art. Like, the art throughout was very good and inventive. And maybe it was just an artistic choice that instead of having Optimus Prime walk around in all the armor or whatever in Power Master form, that maybe Frank just said, nah, you know what? I'm drawing regular Optimus. But I think I don't mind seeing regular Optimus. He didn't have to be all Power Mastery. And he absolutely can take that armor off. So, I mean, that wasn't a stretch by any means. Pat, you were going to say something.
Was there any idea of why this didn't follow 42?
John, do you know anything?
Why they kind of skipped around on this one and, in 43?
Nobody's really sure as to why. There was just a top drawer up issue, as we were talking about, that they had to for whatever reason. The consensus seems to be that Delbo needed a break or just wasn't able to come up with it. Needed a couple of months off, which is likely. So,
because it's kind of interesting in the beginning of this, when they're talking with the Power Masters, there's an editor note by the Diesel Don, and he sees, and it says, "See last issue." And what he's mentioning is someone says, "Which enabled us to be transformed and become your engine." Last issue. I'm like, well, no, that wasn't last issue.
So clearly, that was intended to be the one that they.
That's a good catch, Pat.
Nice job,
Pat.
And then in the next page, where you see in the ad, you see Skylynx, there's another note that says, "See Transformers number 44, Deserted Don." It's like, well, I'm reading 44. Why would I want to see it?
Ah, well.
So it seems like there was really some mix-up going on.
It does seem that, yes. Also, there is one kind of interesting art goof at the end, besides where one of it's on the very last page where they're back on the ship again, and the Power Master folks, who apparently the Power Master process is way less involved than the Headmaster one, because they can just take off their suits, it looks like.
Yeah.
But they must either they smuggled that gal on the ship, or that was a mistake. They're one of the people out of their little chassis things looks female.
Which page?
On the very last content page. I'm trying to get to it.
Oh yeah, I kind of see where you're talking by Optimus's foot.
Yeah, right. But if you zoom in by Optimus's foot, that one, it's either a female or a very long haired engineer who has a weird wrinkle going on in his t-shirt.
Maybe Carrie sneaked on board and she's like, you know what? I'm going with you guys. I miss Lube too much.
The thing I love about that panel is that, well, actually it's not that one. It's the panel right before where Optimus is saying, "Well done, everyone." And I'm like, no, not well done, everyone. You guys barely made it out of that. And that was a carnival. Pat yourself in the back too hard there, Optimus.
It felt very 80s, though. Very 80s cartoon was sort of what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that. But, all right. I don't know if there's anything else to cover. It looks like...
Will we see Barco again?
I don't think we see Barco again. But you know what?
I was wrong about
the kids, so maybe I'm wrong about Barco, too.
As far as I know, we don't see Barco again, but... There's a couple of people who I just remembered the other day that we do see again later. I'm just writing that down for previously on, and then every time that anyone shows up that we didn't remember, I'm just going to throw it in there.
TB Blackrock. Oh, yeah.
We do have an return character we haven't seen in a while, and I think, if not next month, I think it is next month, we have a return character we haven't seen in a while.
Looking forward to it. So there's a few things. It looks like the Autobots, the Fort Max contingency plus Optimus Prime are going to make their way back to the moon. And at some point, I guess, make their way back to Earth and continue to attempt to end the conflict between the Autobots and the Decepticons. And they'll have Skylynx in tow, and they'll get to bring the kiddos back. So all's well that ends well, it seems. So... with that, now us to talk about Who Had the Touch, where we talk about which character in the book stood out the most, Autobot, Decepticon, or human. John, who had the touch?
That's a good question. I'm going to give it to Skylynx. I feel bad for the guy. He was just trying to help out a bunch of kids and got himself captured, but then managed to just wow his, you know, do his part in the plan and wow the crowd while fighting against a couple of rocket people and help contribute to that. Look, nobody really did anything decent. And I like Skylynx, so I'm giving it to him.
Well, I like the point that, like, even like when he was being freed or whatever, and the crowd was cheering, thinking it was a show, he told Optimus to take a bow. It's polite.
It's polite.
So they had to take a bow. I thought that was cool. Pat, who had the touch?
Yeah, this one, it's hard to say. I'm going to go with Barkle. I think with his turnaround, his heart turned around.
There you go.
And, you know, he came up with the idea to, you know, imprison the Big Top. So I'm going to go Barco.
Yeah. Maggie,
who had the touch? I'm also going to give it to Skylynx. I liked his routine that he did, the Cosmic Carnival. He also helped get the kids out of there. I wouldn't say it was a job well done, but it was a job done. So I'm going to give it to Skylynx.
I like that he was humble about it, that he admitted that he got did. The kids in a bad situation.
He got them in that situation. He wanted to get them out of it specifically.
Which mm-hmm. is really, really off-brand for Skylynx.
I was very proud of him in this one.
Yeah, I actually appreciated that he showed a bit of caring and humility, even though I, of course, know how you always talk about how Skylynx is portrayed in the comic books. But I like to think that even if he got himself in that big of a mess, that maybe he'd have some humility too. I don't know. I can't speak to the bot, but I will definitely say I like seeing it here. And I'm going to go with Optimus because Optimus kind of was done. Like, he didn't really have a way to free the kids. He didn't really have a way. Maybe he could have freed Skylynx, but he would not have left without the kids. And so he found a way to influence Barco into doing so. Like, and I actually kind of like the simple way it did it. Like, one way I was thinking, hey, it's kind of a quick turn, but it kind of wasn't at the same time. Cause, you know, Barco was kind of like, well, nobody's ever done nothing for me. So yeah. I made this way for myself. And Optimus Prime was like, we can take you home too. And Barco was like, you actually care about me? and with the sad eye emoji, yeah. You know, like, but it's, I get it. Like, some, if you have been hurt and mistreated for a good portion of your life and someone extends to you some genuine kindness, then you saw it for what it was. And it turned his whole outlook around. But I definitely like that Barco also put Big Top in the freaking cell at the end of it, because Big Top didn't seem like a nice guy. So.
But I am just a broken machine, and I do things that I don't really.
If we talked about the touch, someone had to be out of touch. We talked about the character that was the worst in the book, and they should have to figure out how you're going to eat after being trapped in a prison cell that can only be opened by a dude that's like a galaxy away or something. In the segment called Less Than Meets the Eye. Pat, who is Less Than Meets the Eye to you?
Ooh, boy, that is a tough one. You know, I'm going to go with what I pointed out earlier. I'm going to go with the editor on this one for those bad editing boxes.
I think that's fair game. Maggie? Who was Less Than Meets the Eye to you?
I'm going to give it to Daisy. That bear didn't do a damn thing to get those kids out of that situation. Mm-mm.
Ridiculous.
Turned on Daisy so quickly.
Yeah, she left them barren in the cell by them.
Hey, you know, right? I mean, head just stuck in a jar of honey and just ridiculous. Gotta laugh for Maggie. John, who was Less Than Meets the Eye?
Well, I mean, honorable mention for Goldbug, just because, you know, he kind of stumbled through this and didn't accomplish much of anything and could have generally failed, but, you know, ultimately was on the winning team, so gets the ring. But I got to give it to the big slug dude with the giant cigar.
Big Top.
Big Top, because, well, he's a giant alien slug who is tricking people into indentured servitude and enslaving children. Mm-hmm. He deserves whatever he gets. I mean, it's too bad they didn't give a giant salt shaker. Yeah.
He's the Jabba Hutt of the Transformers
universe. I'm pretty sure that was the influence there. This was a fun one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was when Big Top got put in that cell and like Burka locked him in there. I'm like, good. You got what you deserved. I hope you never got out and you wound up dying there because you're a jerk. And sometimes, you know, jerk things should happen to jerks. So I think Big Top got everything that he wanted and then some. And with that, we are going to rate Transformers issue number 44. You know the deal, y'all. 1 through 10. Let's talk about it. Let's see. Maggie, have you gone first yet?
I went first once.
Do you want to go first twice?
Yeah. Because honestly, here's the thing. I'm not quite sure how to rate the ones that don't have anything to do with the overall story. I mean, Optimus is in it, like some of the characters are in it, but not, the main plot hasn't been forwarded in any way. So like if 5 is average, right, but this is one of the wacky issues, I'm kind of like, I guess I'll give it a 6 because it was entertaining, at least. And I wasn't like meh about it. I wasn't very middle of the road. I'd give it a 6.
Okay. And I'll go second this time. I liked it. I do understand what you're saying about it. It's at least getting them back to the storyline. Yes. And I think the reason that it felt so disjointed is because of 43, which was about, you know, nothing. Absolutely. And clearly it did some, you know, jarring with the editorial staff even. Like, they clearly just had to scramble on 43. And man, there has to be some story about it. Maybe I'm going to take a night and maybe do some Google searching and see if I can find something out. It would be interesting. But anyway, 8, I'll give it a 7. It was a good story. It was fun. Always great to see Optimus Prime again. Good to see Goldbug, too. You know, the two most recognizable Transformers that are out there, especially Autobots. So it gets a 7 for me. Pat, what would you rate it?
I'm with Maggie on this at a 6. I think this was kind of fillery in a way. Did it move anything forward? I guess we figured out where the kids were. But
at least I didn't forget about them entirely.
And yeah, Daisy.
And Daisy. Yeah.
And Daisy.
That yeah. Good for nothing bear that doesn't do anything. But maybe she'll show up in the Care Bear comics that we'll start to cover later on down the road.
Grogu all over again. Everyone loved him at first. Genocidal.
As soon as he started eating those frog eggs, yeah. Nope.
But, you know, yeah. Boy, yeah, it is definitely a 6 for me. I enjoyed it, but it's filler.
Okay. But less filler than the last filler. Trust us on that, Pat. Yeah. I don't know if you read 43 or not.
I did a little bit into it, so...
Yeah.
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 Let's just say, yeah.
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 And you know who else says, yeah, Pat? Lil John.
Lil John.
Well, we don't have Lil John, but we do have Jonathan Schaefer Hames. We have Jonathan Schaefer Hames here. So he's going to tell us what he thinks.
I am going to join Delvin in the higher end of this sort of thing. Give it a 7. This partially because of it before, you know, influence from what I saw before, which was terrible, and what I remember as coming up next, which I now remember is not the character. That one comes 2 from now. Next one, I don't think it's all that great. So that might affect this, but just on its own merits. You know, I'm not going to judge it for being a filler issue. You have to have those. And as far as that went, this was a fun adventure in its own right. I enjoyed it. It was nice to see Frank Springer back. There's some great background stuff. Frank Springer draws a great Optimus Prime, and I always love to see him. And he draws a really good Goldbug, and you got to see both these characters around. And he does Skylinks pretty well. And I guess it's just kind of fun to look at. And next issue, we can move on into discuss how that's filler. But 7 for this one.
We can and will never leave you without John's segment of the show called Transformer Spotlight, where he discusses a particular Transformer that was featured in today's issue. All yours, Sean.
All right. You know, I put this down as a joke at first, but I'm actually going to go with this because I was going to go with Getaway, and he's kind of boring. But just because I looked
The TFWiki.net has an entry for Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3. And his entry, it is listed as a featured article and considered to be one of the most informative on this wiki. But it says, history goes, it was just another day in the Cosmic Carnival's main arena. Big Top had just announced the entrance of the automated airborne artiste without equal, the Autobot Skylink. Suddenly, some ponderous oaf appeared out of nowhere, attempting to help Skylink's escape from the carnival. If you click on ponderous oaf, you get Optimus Prime's spot. As the two barreled through the arena's panicked performers, Big Top ordered his employees to stop the escape, and the two Autobots came under attack. The ponderous oaf concentrated on a nearby fire juggler, but in doing so, he proved to be a fool, for he ignored Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3. Using the fantastic speed of his rocket cycle, Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3, outran the ponderous oaf, pulled a sharp U-turn, and charged at him, intending to cut him in two. The oaf dodged him. Hey, wait! No one ever dodges Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3. There must be a mistake. That fool Skylinks was there for him, though. As the spacecraft mode Autobot came at him, Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3, vaulted on his avian nemesis and launched off from the top of his tail fin, high into the air with a thrilling cry of, Yayee! Unfortunately, while this did provide Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3, with some measure of insight into precisely why that fool Skylinks received top billing, it did not have the effect of cutting Skylinks in two. Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3, could only watch as the fool and the oaf transformed and took a bow for the audience, for he had managed to entangle both himself and his rocket cycle in the bars of the overhead cage that had previously held that fool, Skylink, he meant to. Under his abilities, he's not given stats, but it does say, Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3, is a rocket cycle racer in the Cosmic Carnival, possibly hailing from Rigel 3. He's equipped with spiky purple armor and what looks like an earthly stunt motorcycle, only rocket-powered. No one dodges him, ever, and only a fool ignores him. And that is Rorza, the rocket cycle racer from Rigel 3. Delta.
What can I say other than let's go to a break? Yes.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Monthly. It's Action Film Face-Off!
Hello, I'm Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, and I'd like to tell you about a podcast I do with my brother, Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist.
Action Film Face-Off!
Yes, thank you, Jared. Action Film Face-Off is a podcast where my brother and I, who are both military combat vets...
Jason was a Navy SEAL!
Jason was not a Navy SEAL. Jason was a military intelligence wing. But anyway, in each episode of Action Film Face-Off, we select two different action films.
Some of them have Chuck Norris!
Technically speaking, none of them have had Chuck Norris yet, but it could happen because we use a randomizer set between 1970 and modern day to select our two films. So you'll always get two films, each from a different year.
Our randomizer has spikes on it!
We use a Google random number generator, so it does not have spikes on it. And we put the films into our Video Dome arena.
It also has spikes.
It does not have spikes. But we discuss the films and score them through six different rounds of criteria.
I score Bond films very high.
Okay, that's true. But anyway, by the end of the episode, we crown one of the action films the champion of Action Film Face-Off.
Next episode, Jason fights a bear.
Jason is not fighting a bear, but please give our show a listen. We're part of the Longbox Crusade network of shows.
Pat Sampson killed a man with a sword once.
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement, but you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and most podcatchers under Longbox Crusade, or you can subscribe to just our show by searching for Action Film Face-Off.
Come see the blood fly!
And that's Action Film Face-Off. We do, indeed, invite you to come and see the blood fly.
I just said that!
now return to the Transformers.
Now it's time for Transmissions, where we heap praise upon the audience for listening to us. We're going to talk about Transformers Chronicles episode 41, where we talked about Transformers issue 41. I will read the shares and retweets very quickly. A hearty, well-meant thank you to Fan Film Fridays Podcast, Warlock Thanos Podcast, Ed Moore, Comic Foil, Coffee and Comics, Serpy Matt, Lorenzo Sleestat, Scotty Cameron, Jim Meal, and Scott Andrew Hutchins. Thank you so much for your share or retweet. And now we had quite a few comments. And so, lady, gentlemen, we can just pass it around. I'll read the first one, and then we can just pass the comments around to whatever you want to talk about. I want to read somebody new. Nick Norris mentioned that it was his first purchase comic ever. Off the rack. Good times.
Cool.
Pat, you want to go?
Yeah. I will take one from Scotty Cameron. And Scotty says, I had this comic during my teens. Sadly, I totaled it. Just kidding. Man, that character spotlight on the Autobot, who is just as accountable for Optimus Prime's death as Megatron is. Hot rod. That's a bumpy ride.
Yep. It is. It's still too soon. All right. Let's just say I'll never be a huge fan of Hot Rod. John and or Maggie?
Scott Reinbeck says that this was also the first comic that I ever bought, the one that started it all.
And Nick Norris agreed. Oh, say me too.
Yes.
Yay. And then Campo Tigri said this issue was amazing. This must be 42.
No, this is 41. This is 41, the Battle Royale.
No, is it? I thought.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one.
it says, like, if you scroll down about another page and a half, that it says issue 42 comments. But these are all 41s.
That's right. Yeah. This one maps as 42 in my brain.
Let's see. Brent Barnhart says, the local arcade bar has this on their bar top, and it is the cover of Transformers issue 41. So apparently this issue 41 had a little bit of appeal, and a lot of people wanted to comment on it. Pat, keep going.
All right. I'll take one from Gary Duncan. And Gary says, I loved that story, especially the bit on the moon where Blaster is trying to tell Grimlock to look behind him because an advancing army of Decepts are behind him. Grimlock's response, me Grimlock, no fall for the old trick.
Gene Hendricks had to butt in when nobody asked and said, you know, Married with Cybertronians is right there, John. Not that you'd want to take any suggestions from someone as despicable as me. Man, that's kind of rough on yourself, Gene.
Yeah, that's kind of despicable of him to think of himself that way.
Nah, we just rebranded, not doing that again. However, we did use the Married with Cybertron a rod.
Oh, sorry, that's me. Herbert Fung says, I'd say I agree with Pat Locke. A wraparound cover would have been great.
You can keep going if you want to read the rest of Herbert Fong's comments. He has a lot.
Yeah, okay. So we were like, I'm sure you're not going to recreate this cover, right? Said Delvin. And then Herbert said, no, even I don't have all those figures and no way I could fit what I have in a shot. Number 39 was tough enough to be doing that. It was tough enough to do being that I suspended Fort Max and Shockwave on fishing line. So far, all my cover homages are in camera shots. I think if I ever attempt something like number 41, I need to do it digitally, and that's not a skill set in my wheelhouse. And then a little behind the scenes of my number 39 homage, a stepladder with some wood clamped to it to hold up the Starfield curtain and paint sticks with fishing line to suspend the figures, hot glue to hold parts of Fort Max's head, limbs in certain positions, wooden skewers with aluminum foil for the simulated damage, and included a picture.
I'm going to put that up on our Instagram, on MWC_podcast.
Oh, and then there's more. Okay, he goes on to say, getting back to Grimlock's Energo sword, I can't find a pronunciation guide for it, so I'll say ask Bob Budiansky, since he's supposed to have written the majority of the bios, he should know for sure. If you can get an interview with him, that would be quite the feather in the cap of this podcast. But whether you pronounce it Energo or Energo, they both sound awkward. I don't recall them mentioning it in the animation, and I'm not entirely sure if he even used it there. But even in the cartoon, they seem to move away from describing the weapons of the Transformers after the first season.
I think a Negro was the...
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and so, and like I mentioned and just said, like, I wonder if they meant like Energon and it was a typo, and he followed up and said, using tfwiki.net, even if it were a typo, it's an official designation now. So be it. And like, that's really, those are the Facebook comments, Pat, right?
Yes.
And like, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Spotify, where we get comments to that Pat pulls. Scotty Cameron, who likes to hit us up multimedia, and we appreciate that, Scotty. The more you do it, the more we read it. He said, great episode. Looking forward to the next episode with the return of Optimus Prime. Shh, don't spoil it. Oh, wait. No, we already did. Yeah, we're good. And he also said, great episode. Love the discussion of the gargantuan amount of Transformers in this comic. Looking forward to the return of Optimus Prime. Pat, you want to read the comment by Christian Fecto?
Sure. Thanks, Delvin, for pronouncing that for me. And Christian says, absolutely love this and other comic shows on the LBC network. You guys are funny, positive, and dynamic. So much nostalgia and appreciation for the quality of the stories. Makes me want to reread them. Well, thank you, Christian. Mm-hmm. We do appreciate that.
And last comment from there's a lot of letters and numbers that don't add up to an actual word, but this person commented before. John or Maggie, you want to read that comment?
This person with the unpronounceable name, so I'm calling Bob, says, loving the podcast. It somehow reminds me of my favorite podcast of all time, which was Remember When. Unfortunately, stop. Apparently, Remember When is a podcast by two folks named Steve Fisher and Scott Wood, and it seems to be about they talk about their memories of growing up in the 80s.
Cool.
Available everywhere that you can find this podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you to everybody for your comments. Thank you to everyone for your reshare, your retweets, and your shares. If we happen to miss a few, we do apologize. It's a good problem to have, but we don't want anyone to forget to be recognized. So ping us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere where you find the podcast. We'll correct it on the next issue. And that's the show. Please come back and join us for the next episode where we discuss Transformers issue 45, where we see the Decepticon pretender, Skullgrin, and his Hollywood debut. No, that's not a typo. And if you'd like to hear more from us, the Long Box Crusade is in a lot of places. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and most podcatchers, to include the aforementioned Spotify at www.longboxcrusade.com, Twitter X, Long Box Crusade, Facebook, Instagram, Long Box Crusade. You can join us on Patreon for $1 a month. We have a YouTube channel. We would love for you to like any content we have there and subscribe to us. We do a live stream once a month. Every second Sunday, we also do Come Out to Play, a new Warriors podcast that I host. And we drop other podcast content on YouTube all the time as well. So you can just listen to it on YouTube if you don't have a podcast feed to follow. We'd love for you to come check us out. And we have a voicemail as well, 707-532-5269, 707-532-LBOX.
Pick up the phone.
Thank you, Pat. And you can also email us at contact@longboxcrusade.com. Just very quickly, if you left a voicemail, like, we would put it on a future episode of Transformers Chronicles. So that's a challenge to any of you loyal listeners. If you want your voice to be heard on this podcast, that's your best opportunity. John, why don't you tell us about your podcasts and where you can be found on the internet?
Maggie and I, our podcasts are collectively known as Married with Content. We do a number of things under that, usually nerd related, not always though. Married with Comics, Married Watching Cartoons. Also with John M. Wilson and Lane, we do a number of book club sorts of things. Right now we're on the Dragonlance books. And Maggie and I also do Encyclopedia Brown stuff, where we read each other Encyclopedia Brown mysteries and try to match wits with a mystery book written for 10-year-olds. You can main place for that is right now located at Married W Comics at libsyn.com. You can send us
emails at marriedwcomics@gmail.com, or find us pretty much everywhere you can look except for Twitter X right now. We're not there, but just MWC_podcast on Instagram and Blue Sky and related places. Pat, where can folks find you?
Well, John, I'm glad you asked. You can find me on the Twitter X at Christatos01 Delvin.
You can find me on Twitter X at DEE_RAY1977, Instagram at Delvin Ray. See you all next time. And remember, freedom is the right of all sentient beings till all are one.
Till all are one. And a little bear, too.
You got the touch. You got the power. Yeah.
All songs, song clips, and characters discussed are copyright of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended, and it is for entertainment purposes only. We are just fans that like to share our love of comics.
Real quick. Bulanati.
Bulanati. Oh, okay.
Yes. All right.
Bulanati. Which I'll probably forget it when I say other names. But anyway. Buliande. I said it wrong, didn't I?
Bulanati.
Bulanati. Okay. Inks.